right, good singing all the way around, and we bless the Lord for the good time service tonight. And so take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Luke, in Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter 15, if you find the place you're able to stand, we'll look in verse 25. We preached the other time on the prodigal son, the brother, this younger brother. This is the elder son tonight, verse 25. And now his elder son was in the field, and he came and he drew nigh to the house, and he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of his servants, and he asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because that he hath received him safe and sound. By the way, when you get saved, you're safe and sound. And he was angry. Now, he didn't think it was good news. And he was angry and would not go in. And therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering and said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, which was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Now that's just not a true statement. Even if he did chase harlots, do you know that it was his own inheritance that he got? In fact, is in the chapter, in the verses that precede that, in verse number 12, the very last, and he divided unto them. So he gave the younger as well as the elder gave them their inheritance. So if he was wasting anything, it was an inheritance that his father had given him. Was it wrong to waste it? Sure. But this guy here's got his mind on the wrong thing. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he has said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Now, Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. And we pray you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed already. Thank you, Lord, for saving Benjamin. Thank you, dear God, for healing Brother Eddie. Thank you, Lord, for opening up the door for Brother Rice and these other requests that have been mentioned. We pray you'd meet them in accordance to thy word and in accordance to thy will. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight about the elder son. Now, when you begin to look into it, you'll find out that here he is. We've already preached about the other son that got his inheritance, and not many days in, he went into a far country, wasted his substance in riotous living. Now, tonight, you'll find the elder son comes into view. He's out in the field, and he's working. Now, let me tell you, here he is. He stayed home, didn't he? I mean, just because you don't ever leave and go anywhere that's too obvious, it doesn't mean that he was all right. He had something wrong deep down in his heart. He stayed home, but he was hard-hearted. And somehow or another, every day of his life, it began to eat on him. And let me tell you something, is that he got to where he was so full of envy, worried about the good time that he thought his brother might be having while he was there at the house working and plowing fields and doing everything that he was doing around the house. Let me say to you that, if you will, that instead of rejoicing when the brother came in, he was remorsing because of the fact that not attention was being given unto him. I was thinking about when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, that in verse number 29, he's a man that was a bragger. He liked to brag about all he had done. Lo, these many years do I serve thee. I've never transgressed, so forth, and all of that. I've always kept thy commandment. Notice he said that thou never gavest me a kid. Kid, he's not having a goat. Buddy up there at the father's house, they're having prime beef, friend. They're having good steaks from fatted calf. And you know, that's what happens if you let envy get in on you. You'll settle for second best. I don't know how good goat is, but I know how good it ain't. We've got a couple of goats running around. One of them's named Henry, and one of them's named Budhead, and you can't tell one from the other if you don't really know it. And every now and then they'll rise up and butt heads one with another and so forth and on. And let me tell you right now, old Henry, he's an escape artist. He knows how to get in and out of a pen quick. Now, he don't want in, but he knows how to get out. If there's a dog in there, he's going to let the dog out with him. Just because of the fact he's an escape artist and he don't care who makes the run for him. I said all that to be able to say this, is that here's a guy that lost sight of prime beef that was being enjoyed at the Father's house. And he was out there thinking, man, just full of envy and strife and hatefulness. Number one is, I want you to see this is a guy that was busy. And he was busy about himself and busy about anything and everything but the Father's business that he claimed he was busy about. You know, in the day and hour that we're looking at is that you don't ever want to get to the place. You know, the Bible said, let another praise thee, not thyself. And when you get around somebody and all they can talk about what they've done, what they've accomplished, what they've did, how much they've got, blah, blah, blah. Let me say, there was two men, the Bible said, that one day that one of them lifted up his eyes toward the Lord and said, I thank you I'm not like other men. I thank you that I'm better and so forth and on, and paid tithes of all that I possess. But the other man would not so much as lift his eyes toward heaven, but bowed his head and smote upon his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. In the lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that here's a man, the elder son, was busy. And boy, he was out there just running to and fro. And you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, we live in a busy world. I don't know what they're accomplishing too much, but I can just tell you right now, we're living in a world too busy for God. This young man was out there busy, plowing in the field, so forth and all. But while he was busy, he was bothered. He wasn't even happy about what he was able to do. Something bothered him. Something was eating on him. You know what it was? Whole time he's busy out there plowing in fields and working in the field and getting everything ready. Inside him, he was bothered about that younger son that was having a good time. I'm doing all the work. I feel like a jerk. He's out there having a good time. I bet he's chasing harlots. See? I gotta tell you, I know a few fellows that have wasted their time and their life in riotous living, and I know for a fact they were busy chasing harlots. After you see the end of that thing, it's not as glamorous as it looked like it was going to be. In this lesson here, you're going to find out that here's a man that when he should have been rejoicing that his brother came home, he was remorsing, and boy, it bothered him that they were having a celebration in the behalf of that younger son that was once lost, now he's found, was dead, now he's alive. Notice, if you will, please, is that what it did for him was is that it made him bitter. Now, you know what happens if you're not careful in lying. We all of us have a little elder son in us. And here's what you need to look at and remember is that every now and again, bitterness is going to want to slip in on you. It'll be about somebody. It'll be about how good they've done, how poor you are. In the name of God, could I be as poor as I am? And I've been serving God and living for the Lord and doing everything that I knew how to do that was just exactly right. And if you're not careful, what you'll do is you'll get bogged down. And what bitterness will do is it'll make you lose sight of how good that God has been to you. You know, in the day and hour we're living in, and I'm no spring chicken. But in the day and hour we're living in, you know, there's been times and days gone by is that I've seen preachers, you know, that seem like they fared good and did better than we always did. But one day God awakened me and said, hey, do you dislike that person more than you love me? See, if you're not careful, all you can do is focus upon what you don't have instead of thanking God for how good he's been and what you do have. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it, it's not worth getting bogged down in bitterness with something you can't control. You think, I've known women, you know, and they'd tell me, hey, I guarantee you right now is that I had a sorry husband. Okay, that's fine. Put it aside and go on. Move on. I've known some women that had sorry men. Well, you can't get bogged down with that. You don't ever get bogged down with the fact that you can't enjoy the presence of God and what God has done. And if you get bitterness, you won't enjoy yourself or nobody else, nor God himself. You can't enjoy him. In the lesson that we're looking at, and you begin to find that, and here's what he did, is that he's over there. He decides to ask somebody, what's going on up there at the Father's house? I hear all that music and that racking and dancing. And they weren't dancing like barroom dancing or like every now and again it pops up on one of them channels, you know, if you're looking on your phone. And they'll have those Mexicans. And she'll be straddled his leg and they're dancing around and his legs between her legs and there's a lot of rubbing going on. Some of you have seen that's why you thought about moving to Mexico. I mean, if you've seen that, sure you have. Don't act stupid with me. I'm just telling you that God, and I thought to myself, huh, no comprende. In this lesson that you're looking at, this isn't the kind of dancing they were doing. They no doubt was some joy, some jubilation, some jumping up and down. They were glad the son that was lost has now been found. The son that was dead is now alive. I noticed something else in this lesson that we're looking at. I noticed whenever I went to the rodeo, some of these little boys and girls here that never have heard or seen dancing was cutting a rug pretty good. He was one of them. Yeah, Logan. No, not you, not you. Yeah, he just not, he's not being honest, is he? And all that right there, some of that boot scooting, whatever you do, I don't know what it's called. Here's a man, though, that I'm telling you had no enjoyment in life. He was right where he ought to be. He was with whom that he ought to be with. He was doing what he ought to be doing. But he just had a hard heart and full of bitterness that was in his life. And that took all the joy out of him. I noticed something else about that. This man not only got bitter, but he was blind to how good God had been to him. You know, when the father went out there and beseeched him to go in, he said, won't you come on in? And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't go in. And no doubt that he was blind to all that God, he said, everything I've got, son, belongs to, what I have is thine. And he was blinded by how good God has been and what God has done. That's really what makes people stray from the Lord. They lose sight of how good and how God has been good to them all that time. And when the blinders are on, and somebody, how you doing? Well, nah, I don't feel like I'm doing too good. I've told so many of you whenever y'all ask me how I'm doing, and I ask first, how you doing? And I'm like, good, good. How are you doing? And that's what I always get. How are you doing? Well, I'm probably not doing as good as you're doing, but I'm doing all right. Now I get that thrown and pulled back on me. I just said all that to be able to say this, is that here's a man that every now and again, while he was busy, 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 he should have stopped long enough to open up his eyes and count his blessings and name them one by one, and it would have really surprised him just how much God had done. Last but not least, let me tell you something, he was bullheaded. You know what keeps people from getting straightened out with God? Bullheaded. Just hard-headed, bullheaded. I mean hard-hearted and just made up my mind. You ever have anybody like yourself say, well, I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to apologize till hell freezes over. That's a miserable way to live. You ever had anybody, you know, that a situation in life, don't ever get to the place to where that you're ever going to tell God, all right, this is the last time. Oh, no, it ain't. What are you going to do if you get next time you go sucking your thumb and look like you've eaten poison dog? What is it, you're going to just quit on God? No, you're not going to quit on God. I've seen people wanted to quit on God and they walked off, but they limped back. See? I want to say in closing that if you will, please hear tonight, is that whenever you begin to look at it, he would not. They invited him, wanted him to come on in, enjoy the jubilation, the joy, the fun, the fellowship, enjoy what's going on up here at the Father's house. And the Bible said, and he would not go in. Now, there's a question that we always ask whenever I deal with this elder son. That's the end of it. That's the end of the story. And my question to you is, you think he ever went in? No way to know. He didn't go in by holy writ. He didn't record it. In other words, God didn't record it. Why do you think he didn't? I think he's left it up to you and I. I think he wants to see if you go in or not, or going to be bullheaded and not go. You remember the times that God was knocking on your door by the Holy Ghost of God after a preaching of a message, and God was pounding on your heart, and you just wouldn't go in. But then later down the road, God was gracious to give us another opportunity, and we did go in. I don't know if this man ever went in or not, but I believe he leaves it up to us. Are you going in or not? Other night, this young man here was being troubled by the Lord, couldn't go to sleep. What he needed was to get in. And so God is about to let us see that, and that he came on in. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our musicians are coming.